Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to Islam-Based Conversations. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're here with you on another Monday. We really want to get off to a good start, and we want to acknowledge our promise, which is to not waste your time or insult your intelligence. Simply stated, not easily accomplished, but we do our best. And I think that there, once we have done that, then it's very satisfying. It's very enjoyable. Life gets to have a different, we have a different view of life once this happens, speaking personally. But I think that those of you who are on, then you can relate to what we're talking about and see that it's true. Especially for nowadays, you know, you have to have something you can hang on to and hold on to. And when you have to go to war, you feel fully equipped to do that, and that's a good feeling. Last week we tried to at least open the door a little bit and talk about, like I said, it was one of my favorite topics. I've spent a lot of years trying to be my best self. Didn't always have the language, didn't always have the knowledge to do it, but I soon recognized, and hopefully you'll recognize some of it. It's in Scripture. We as Muslims, we endorse the fact that it's in the Holy Quran or the Noble Quran, in a way that it was, it's universal. It speaks to the human being, and you feel a sense of guidance and a sense of hope and a direction that you were lacking. We're going to talk about people who have suffered from that and some of the consequences that they found themselves in. What they're doing about it presently, and what can be done, we believe, to even improve on what they've already done, and the success that they share with us about what happened. They, you can say, made the wrong turn, followed the wrong people, get involved into such immoral situations that may offer a little bit at the beginning, but they are very devastating, very controlling, very much not what the Creator has intended for you and I as a lifestyle. Even though the money might be good, and you may have developed a rationale to tell yourself that it's okay if the people are consensual about it, and that's the way you've chosen for your livelihood, and then go for it. It's easy to say that. It's easy to ignore everything that suggests that, even though you can say that, the particular immorality of that lifestyle, having a career that does that. You provide your body and you give sex to sometimes total strangers for exchange for cash, and they've made it legal. They have some things that they check it with and whatnot. You know, you got to get this, you got to get that, you got to qualify here. But the individual that we're going to talk to was 18 years old when they signed. They signed an agreement that said that they would give the funds, a part of the funds that they made, to this company for helping them, you know, get larger, get better, or whatever, and it would be for in perpetuity, meaning it has no date. It never ends. If they die and there's still some funds to be gotten, or they've gotten you to sign away your not only your soul, but your financial future. And they know that you don't know, otherwise you wouldn't sign it, or if you did sign it, you would have things in place like a lawyer. Lack something that makes them equally as responsible. But it's not designed for that. It's designed to be one of the fastest growing industries that's in the business market. And it's went through a lot of changes and whatnot. So I don't want to examine it too much right now. I want to get involved, the people's involved, in some of the things that they had to say. Not just this individual. He's not in the pornography industry or whatnot. But he had something to say about life because he was asked the right question. And that's a big part of life, knowing and asking the right question. And when I say right, I'm not talking about right and wrong. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a question that has been thought out. It's not maybe not the first time somebody's asked this question, but the question suggests that it is not just going to take anything for an answer. It wants something that is satisfying and not just gratifying, not just make you feel good because it sounds good to you, you know, or it's said in a certain language, or it's said by someone who has a certain title. That's really not enough, you know. And because you see that it's not enough when you see the two things that Allah says or the Creator says that he has left, that once you get out of touch, you can get back in touch with these two things. That's the book, his word, his way, his will, and then do the work. That's the solution. And then following the model example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not because you were told all these stories, not because the individual that told you was very excited and very believable, and no, you put the challenge to the test. You go out and practice, learn the religion, live the religion, gain a love for the religion and a love for the creator of this beautiful religion, and you see what it does, not just for you, but for individuals who have the courage to do the investigation, do the trial run, decide that you sick and tired of being sick and tired. So you then declare yourself or declare to yourself, I'm going to investigate this thing. I'm not just going to give it a quick once over. I'm going to look and see if it delivers what it says it's going to deliver. And once it does deliver, you'll find that you realize you're in the right place. And the rest of the story, how it ends or if it continues, it's going to be on you and I. We have our own future in our control. And if we don't have our own future in our control, it's time that we did get our own future in our control because that's what's available. No more blame game. No more putting everything on the externals. They and white men and racism and sexism and all those other isms that are designed to divide and conquer. And I have to admit, struggling like I struggle and I've seen other people struggling, it's a worthy competition. They have, or these forces that seek to enslave man and also disprove the role that man has been, when I say man, humans have been chosen for, clearly stating that's the ultimate answer to why I'm better, you know. And this is what we talked about, you know, the jinn, the iblis, the beginning of him becoming diabolical and devilish in his approach to prove his point, and being given permission to pursue it and then solidified by the Creator, I guarantee you there are going to be people you're going to get. Those people were not where they needed to be and where they want to be, but even then, the door hasn't closed. It's like the verbiage in the basketball or the sports. It ain't over till it's over. So then what then becomes our ultimate goal is go out fighting, go out struggling, go out realizing that we never really arrive. We don't arrive at that one. It's no static point that we're going to. It's no geological point that we're going to. And the proof is in that when you hear Sirata Mustaqim. That's the point. That's the path. That's the where we're going, but where we want to stay on. And where we check ourselves regularly or daily to see if we're still on it. The society isn't concerned that we're on it. You have to have that concern for yourself. You have to have that kind of deep love for yourself. You have to have that kind of ability to research and find out for yourself. What is all this talk? What is all this, all these conversations? Some saying they believe there is a God. Some saying that we believe there's a higher power. We don't call it God. And on. Some are spiritual, some are religious, some are whatever. Some have a belief system. Some practice their beliefs. Some people tell you they're not practicing. You know, it's all kind of variables in the world today. But when you take a stand, when you take a look, I mean a deep look, a lasting look, you'll see that, hey, it's there. It's there for the taking. It's there for it's available. It's like it says about itself. It's an inheritance. You get it when you manifest to the giver of it that you want that. You want that for your life. You want that for yourself. You want that for your family. You want to be in a community that does that. And you don't want to get caught up in situations like we're going to talk about, or even enjoying situations and you don't have the ability to know where the credit is really due. So you give it to sometimes, and a lot of times, really not just sometimes, a lot of times, we give our own self credit. I'm intelligent. I'm talented. I have skills. I deserve this kind of money. I deserve this kind of lifestyle. I paid my dues, paid with the cost to be the boss. All those things are spoken out of context. When you really examine and ask, like I said before, a good question, okay, so if this is true, it should hold up to a rational examination. And also, if I really am true about who I say I am, I will give it that rational examination. I won't just jump in feet first or jump in because there's a big crowd of people over there or go over there because it's got a wonderful feel-good message and people shouting and hollering and screaming and saying all these words that seem to be suggesting that they found this place, they found the spot. But that's just on the surface. It's too much in the world to suggest that they're not there. It's too many people going through what they're having to go through. Either they inhale or they're feeling or experiencing hell, you know. Hell is very prevalent today. It's a hell of a thing for people. You see people who you think are well off, maybe the car they drive or the house they live in or the degree that they got or the publicity that they get on the television and celebrity status and all that and status. And I have to admit, it's pretty convincing. But when you settle for just hearing these great talks, these wonderful, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm not going to say this Sheikh and this community and these people. No. This is not that kind of conversation. Because when you hear what Scripture has to say about having those kind of conversations, you hear that don't be judgmental. Don't be self-righteous. Don't talk about how good you are and how bad they are and that they're going to hell and it's terrible. No. Scripture relieves us of that kind of conversation. It clearly states that God is the final judge. He created all of this. He knows the ins and outs. He makes a book available so we can find some of the ins and outs. He left a prophet who had did what that prophet needed to do to get the richness that was there. So the finality, it came with it. Mission accomplished. After I did all that, and I went through this one, and that one was leading to that one. It was all leading. And here we are. Here we are, alive and fairly well. I mean, you know, we're not maybe in this. We've been better off, I'll say. There's been seen better days, maybe. But in the midst, still above ground, to be able to hear and experience what's been talked about for ages, to get answers to questions that we had for years and years, and we got little bit of pieces in it. Feel a little bit better than it did last time we heard it in, but now you got a full-blown answer, and you have to admit, at least I will admit, and I think you will admit to what I'm finna admit to. What did I do to deserve it? I ask myself daily or regularly sometimes to be able to hear and fairly understand and give an application to it and then get some results from it. And I know I'm not at my best. I know I've got a long way to go. I know there's some things that I know that aren't healthy. They're not a source of purification. You know, they are so prevalent in the society. They're a big part of my past. And also I know that there are other people out there who have the same situation. We might have angels, guardian angels, and angels that are recording this and recording that, one on the right and one on the left, as they've spoken about. I don't know, you know, necessarily if that's a legitimate hadith or a legitimate thing. I just know it enough to be able to say it, that we have these forces. And we have an idea of what we're striving for. You know, what are we trying to look forward to? We're trying to look forward to that there's a life after this life. That's the glue that holds it all together. Otherwise, what's it all about? It's like they say, it begins and it ends. It's just a little suspicious with all that I've seen, all that I've seen coming forward as opposed to what it used to be. You know, all the way back as far as we have the little history book that these human beings were here and they were in a certain predicament and they were in a certain status. And then we come fast forward to today. And what do we see? One of the most sophisticated societies that has ever been. That's all I can really say. I mean, that's what you see. None of us, excuse me, let me not speak for other people. Most of us were not prepared for what came or what's been coming. And it was just the tip of the iceberg. It's not like it's, we're glad we got here. We're glad we're here because after this ain't going to be, no, after this going to be even better than that. Now, when I say better, I should say more improved, more advanced, more attractive. They got some pretty attractive situations there, vehicle-wise and house-wise and just material life-wise. I mean, you go out and you shop for a car and you show the benefits and the features that it has, you know. I don't know. I stopped looking and I stopped counting because I was impressed enough. And I wasn't impressed enough to after they see the price tag, but I was impressed. Car will back up for you. Never was good at parallel parking. That would be a real bonus for me if I was interested in that future to a teacher to pay the amount of money they want for that feature. And they'll give you whatever you want, 5 years, 6 years, however long you want to take to pay for it. We got a book. We got some creditors who will give you that. They'll look at your situation, your FICO score, your credit history and your debt history and all that. But they'll make it work for you. And they'll make you believe they do all of that because they care about you. They want you to experience the car of your dream, the house of your dream, whatever it is that you need, and they are there for you to finance it and make it available and make it affordable for you to do it. And they want you to believe that. How car salesmen got this bad reputation, I don't know. Maybe because part of it's true, and it's spreading because people used to treat a customer like a customer, not anymore. Just doesn't happen. You're treated like a consumer, not a customer. We want you to spend some money. We'll tell you what you need to hear to spend the money and then continue to be a loyal customer. We'll even lie. We'll even stretch it. We'll do whatever it takes. Is that everybody? No. But it's far too many people are comfortable. And one of the people that I'm going to talk about, that was one of their mantras to say that are unapologetic. Song that Rihanna sang or made or whatever. Haven't heard it. Don't know. Just know that she knew and she said she it became her theme. And it gave her permission to do things that she couldn't do before because she had, didn't feel worthy, didn't do. It's one thing to feel worthy and self-confident. It's another thing to say, I will do whatever means it takes to do it, to get this and that and the other, even if it means selling my soul to the devil, even if it means stretching the truth, even if it means standing right in your face and lying to you. And then go home and don't let it bother you. It's one thing to kind of feel, you know, like I want this so bad. I won't tell all the truth because I know if I do, I won't get it. What decides that? You, because you believe it, and then you use it to justify what you're going to get ready to do. So you have rationalized a mistake, a sin, a wrong, because the world has presented it to you in a way, hey, you know what? You can be soft if you want to. You can be goody if you want to. Good people get last. They get prey, and people get preyed upon. And then next thing you know, you say, okay, well, what do I need to do to keep that from happening? And they say, well, you know, there's a certain attitude, certain, well, just like I said, you got to do certain things and not be apologized. You got to say the F word and go, let that proceed you forward. That's what's being sold. If you're not hearing it, it's because you're trying to duck it or dodge it or you don't want to hear it or you whatever. I'm not hearing it so I can practice it. I'm hearing it so I can know the condition of the world that I'm living in right now and why it looks like it's getting worse. People are wiser but weaker, as in the Bible. This a granule of what's going on. So you can gain some wisdom. You just don't necessarily want it to be the book that you are guided by, but in the book that we seek guidance from, it talks about the people of the book. And we couldn't be hearing about the people of the book unless they had something to offer. And when you hear someone who is devoutly Christian or devoutly a believer in their religion, you hear an enlightened person. So what does that mean? That means to me that a good Christian is a good Muslim and a good Muslim is a good Christian. What's the qualifier? They've taken their time to study their book enough to follow the book. But here's the catching, the link that links everybody, bonds us together. They do this because they believe in God. They believe he's the answer. And they turn to the things that they think has the answers. Does that sound just what Muslims do? Does it sound what the Jehovah's do? Whoever does that now qualifies to be a believer. And they can continue to grow and know, and they can become a better believer to the point of where they can influence other people to try this thing and see if they want to believe it enough for them to become a believer. So what I hear me saying, and I hope you hear me saying, this thing can get to be fun. I didn't have any idea. And I'm speaking sort of in the third person. I didn't have any idea. I'm talking to you like way back when I started. I didn't have any idea it was going to be this way. That trial, toil and struggle, difficulty and ease, but so worth it. You wake up excited because you don't know what you're going to experience today. You don't know what Allah has in store. You don't know what blessing you might get. You don't know what answer you might receive. You don't know what friend you might make. You don't know what your smile or your good attitude or your positive attitude can do for a world that doesn't have positive attitudes. in hell, got a lot of hell in their life, making excuses for the hell, promoting the hell, getting talked into counseling the hell by giving it out as hard as you getting it. Give it back, you know. I've heard some prominent leaders say they have to let their gin go to work because that's the only thing that works. For the stay from the truth, you let your gin loose and let it do the work. What's going to happen? The gin going to do what the gin do? Okay, so what are you talking about, this gin? That driving, unseen force that gets us up and ambitious about how we're going to approach our life now that this has happened, you know? Now that you've experienced this thing called slavery, now that you've had a marriage or two that didn't work, now that you've had money that didn't come through like you thought, anything that you can think of, you tell the generals on it to solve it because you're sick and tired of losing, failing to get what you want, and praying, good person, doing right, doing everything you think the book says you're supposed to do, and it still ain't working right for you. So you think you'd take a little walk on the wild side. Only going to be worse. See, the people who walk on the wild side and give promotion to the wild side, it's because we weren't equipped with what we had needed to know the difference. See, prominent rapper Notorious B.I.G. had this to say about it: don't buy the hype. Yeah, it looks good. It shine like new money. It look like it's gold. Look like it's you know, got to give you that feeling that you longing for. You know, where you that hurt that it's gonna help that. It's gonna make it better. It's gonna put a smile back on your face. Can't do it. Never have. Never will. Never was intended to do it. That's the trick. Okay. I'm going to give you this. You're going to get this when you step over here to that. Just step out of line and get over here to the left a little bit. I'll get up here to the right. See what happens. All that good stuff you were waiting on is going to happen. And these two people I'm going to talk about, that's what they did. They decided that they were tired of waiting. Or they decided that to buy the hype. You have, I can begin to mention names a little bit. You have two people I'm going to talk a little bit about. Probably with the time that I got left, we're not going to spend all that on them. We just want to talk about their story and how it started and where they are now with it. And what I'm trying to promote more than anything, and I hope you will get this out of it, find your story. Tell your story. Don't let other people tell your story to other people. It's your story. It's my story. It's not, let me use the right word. Well, it's not right because it's been happening too much. And now you hear music that you heard in the 60s being played on the commercials. So what makes it better now, acceptable now? When before it was almost like boycotted. It stayed on the, what do they call it? Some kind of circuit, but it didn't make it to the public. It didn't make it to the status quo. Some people were made it there, you know, the American Bandstand, Ed Sullivan, turned on your radio like you do now, or you Spotify, whatever you hear. You hear music that you just chitlin circuit. That's what it was called. You know, black people, they like it, they understand it, they play it to each other. So I'm in the industry. I'm going to sign them on my label, and I'm going to put it out there in limited markets. Now it's right there in the market, glamorized like all the rest of them, holding its own like all the rest of them, having a word or two to say about a given thing, falsetto and all, you know, it's not a baritone or that, you falsetto, you know. But because of what you're seeing and how you're seeing it and where it's coming from, good music. Good music. Now, yes, it's not Juilliard trained music. You know, it's people who love the talent and they would give it away like they almost did for free because they love the singing. They don't know the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. No, they don't know that. I mean, they do know maybe a little bit of it. But like James Brown used to say, my ears don't lie. Something is making me feel soulful. Something is making me want to dance. Something is getting me up and on this floor. I'm not a wallflower anymore. Okay. And you add a melody to the lyrics, it's over. Okay. Now, today it's a little different, but back in the day, if you like music like I liked music, you examine it to the depths that I've examined it, or that it can be examined. I won't put myself out there like I'm some kind of connoisseur and I know all this heavy stuff. No, but I did have a taste for it. In fact, it was my therapy, you know, feeling bad, put a record on that makes you feel better. You know, the drift was up on the roof. You know what I mean? You know, somebody telling you they know a place that you can go to, and they'll take you there. What? They will take you there. Huh? Individual that started out with two names and ended up with one name, Luther. You know, is it that Luther? What does that mean? Popular, so profound in what they have to say, that now they can go by one name, Prince. And what was the thing that took you there to give you that, you started with that, you Barry White, you know, Isaac Hayes, Moses, and Black Moses. So how did they get out there like that? And we bought into it, and we gave them their props, so to speak, because they were going to do what a lot of people weren't doing. They had the talent, but they developed it, and they developed an audience, and they developed a delivery where you knew this is Luther, and this is what he got to offer, you know? And you can see the stars that are still around, our celebrities still around, and you can see what kept them around. They still have this love for the industry, this love for the music. And so we as an audience, we liked that time. It told you, you know, it's a man's world. If you want a do-right woman, you got to be a do-right man. That's clear explanation. Okay? My girl, stay in my corner. These records, I mean, this music, it was instructive. It was informative. Ain't nobody like the love I got. And then there was a group. Everybody's a Fool Sometimes. Anyway, it was by The Main Ingredient. One Hit Wonder. It had some more that came out, but that one was phenomenal, and I heard a little bit of it today. But I say to you, and you say whatever you want to say about what I'm going to say, the title of the group was probably more significant, was just as significant as the group singing. And they sang that song, don't they? And they told you why everybody plays the fool sometimes. It's just a matter of time before you're going to do it. Because it tells you what it takes to do it, how deep it goes, how emotional you get. You thought you had one thing and it wasn't the way you thought it was, you were being fooled. And wasn't nothing you could do about it. Well, nothing you can do to change. I mean, you could have seen it coming, maybe. Handwriting on the wall, or you was getting played, or however you want to say it. But anyway, the name of the group was The Main Ingredient. And that is a definition of what you had to have. You could sing all you want to. A lot of the good, talented people didn't even make it. Because it takes more than using your God-given talent to make it. These people, like I said before, he discovered something, you know, like, what was that? Thin Line Between Love and Hate. Singing in a cappella. Don't need no music. The word's going to tell you, going to strike you, going to move you. And it did, and it does. And it still does, you know. If you were there in that level. Now, what is all this leading up to? It's leading up to what I just said. If you are aware and conscious of your own personal development and growth, your responsibility for you to take care of you, that will take care of the other stuff. You won't need love so much because you're taking care of yourself, which shows what? That you love yourself, which means that you what? Know yourself enough to take care of yourself and love yourself. You and I are all we got. You came here alone. You're going to leave alone. But you're not going to get lonely while you're here and do things that drastic desperate. You know, they got these definitions for, desperations are thoughts of the past and anxiety are worries of the future. Really, how did they come up with that? Depression. Thoughts of the past. Is what I'm saying to you depressing you? And is it worrying you? Or is it taking you back to an era when this was what was dominant? This is what was the norm. Now, you might not, like I said, have been in music as much as I was, but some of that, you heard it, it makes sense. It was a part of the lifestyle. I can't go without mentioning this because not only did it have the lyrics, but the melody was just off the chain. I mean, it was just, you couldn't stay there on the wall. You couldn't stay there in your seat when you heard, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. The lyrics alone would get you up. But when you add the rhythms and everything that went with that record, when they introduced it, you said, it's going to be good. I don't have to hear nothing else. This is going to be a phenomenal record. I'm going to get up and dance to this. And whatever was popular at that particular time. So I'm saying this to say that. This is what somebody, because the mental health is so bad now, they had to help people understand, okay, no, you're not depressed. You're a little anxious. You got a little, you know, your nerves. Your nerves are bad about something that's coming up on you. It may happen, it may not happen. So you're just a little anxious. This is a worry for the future. You don't know the outcome. You don't know what to think. You don't know what's going to be like you thought. You don't know if it's going to let you down. And when it does, you just want it to end. You just want it to be done. When COVID came, we just wanted it to be over, back to the norm. I don't care, you know, about the rest of the stuff. 6 feet, mask, washing your hand. Yeah, that's good. But when is it going to go away? When can I get back to mingling and going out and socializing like I did before? Think about it and ask some questions. Why are these thoughts of the past causing me to go into a state of depression and then get prescribed all kind of medication that I learned later didn't help the problem? It may exacerbated the problem. But it's what they had to offer, medication or operations. You take your choice. And they tell you up front what we see with our examination. This is going to be your medication for a long time because it's not designed necessarily to get you better. It's designed to get you to be able to cope with what you have. And we're telling you up front, it's pretty bad what you have. So we're going to prescribe these amount of drugs and see if we can just calm it down, make it do, you know, get through a day and function a little bit and get on with your life and make some money and do whatever. And I'm saying, no, it's not true. Why would the Creator create you and I, and then we come into a situation to where thoughts are so horrific, they have us at home crying, not eating, not being hygienic, not changing clothes, thinking negative thoughts to the point to where we lost weight, we almost insane because something in our life we didn't see it coming, or we got lied to. In this particular case, this lady was introduced to what are they trying to dignify it? Sex workers, pornography, and she became a porn star. But she was from Lebanon, so being in a Lebanese, she had a good chance of being Christian, but also she had a good chance of being Muslim. So she was Muslim by label only. How do we know that? How do we qualify that? Because she got married to an individual who was about 4 or 5 years older than her. She was 18 at the time, and someone approached her about becoming a part of the sex industry, gave her a card. She took the card home, and they told her, take the card home. If you ever change your mind, she said, no, if you ever change your mind, call me. I was saying between her and him, decided that I'll call, I guess, just to check on and see what they have to offer. And next thing you know, she's in it. I'll sign a contract that she's going to give up some of her savings in perpetuity. It means it's never going to end. I'm always going to get something from the royalties of what we do here. And to show you that she had been put into a trick bag and that they wanted to be able to gain her ability to present what they were presenting in a way that said, Islam is all right with this. Look, here's somebody right here. She appeared in one of her videos in total hijab. And everybody's stock full of law. She's going to hell. Woo, 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 woo. Let's wait until we get to the rest of the story. Creator. We're not able to examine to what extent it was her fault for being allowing herself to get tricked like that. Where your conscience? Where your awareness? To not only get tricked into doing it and then get on there and promote Islam in a way like that. So they had all kind of contracts. It was worse than the guy who got the contract for him. So she's running around now at 19, 20 years old with ISIS and all these people threatening her, got putting her tape up and saying, look at this, whatever she is, and calling her all kind of names and boo, boo, boo. Plus, it's not like she thought. It's not like any other job when you go to work and don't know who's going to be that total stranger is getting ready to do things to you and with you to get some profit and sales from this, and you go along with it. Same as, you know, all the stuff that goes with it. She talks about what she was, what state of mind she was in, blah, 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 blah. Chase, and make a short story shorter, we'll come visit some couple points about it, but presently, the CEO of 3 businesses. Stopping and pausing because I want. So what happened? What did we see? What did we hear? What did Allah see? What did Allah hear? So now she's out. She's gotten away from that. She's apologized for the other stuff. She's not necessarily Muslim practices. She didn't mention the savior, the redemption, the repentance, none of that. I got my act together. I'm an intelligent person. I rebounded from that. I lived that. That was my life. Taking advantage of people who don't know. They've gotten some people who have endorsed that this is a place. I'm treated fairly. I can make money. When I go to bank, they don't say I'm in the pornography or the sex industry and they won't cash my check. I can get the work. For the work I do and whatever they ask me to do to pay more, if I'll do it, then I do that. And I'm all right. That's a conscious choice, they think. And she's saying most of the people who are saying that have been brainwashed or what they call groomed. Because if you are a decent person, a level of sacred regard for that thing we call our body, you don't put it through that for money or anything. And if you ask a question, and the question is not asking you why are you doing it necessarily, is that aren't you concerned? Where is your consciousness? Where is your ability to recognize that you get this or don't get this because of your behavior? And they didn't call this illegal and immoral because they didn't have anything else to do. Because that's what it is. And yeah, you got people fighting for it and, you know, committed to it and somebody's joining up right now. But if they're listening to someone who's been there, done that, and they were at the brink of suicide, I think she said she tried 2 times. So what does that also tell you? the Creator saying, I got plans for you if you will stay around for a little while. I'll show you how to undo what was done to you, and you can make a contribution. It may not be the one that we want to hear or the ones that your co-Muslims want to hear, but you're saying some pretty good, impressive stuff. That wherever I was, whatever I went through, whatever I thought was going to kill me, was going to keep me from wanting to go outside because it was everybody knew my name and everybody was staring at me. Everybody was making jokes at my expense and on and on and on. And I tried to get out, and they told me, no, you can't get out. If you do get out, you're not going to take anything with you. We're going to continue to promote your tapes, your videos, and all capacities that you may. And it is. If you go on and Google the name, it'll show her real name, which is Mia Khalifa. You'll see what's out there still available. But if you do some interviews and where she's talking and she's trying to make amends, pursuing that she had talents, she had skills, and she has over 50 million followers. Now, is this the way to go about it? No, I'm not promoting her story. This is the ideal way to find out God, and he's the Creator, and he's merciful. No, it's not. But that's what's being found out. If you can stop and get to that point and let her lie be an example of how far you can be to the right or left and get back in the middle enough to qualify for this material wealth this year. Okay. In the interim, she's been in two marriages. The first one was when she got married to I'll just call him the pimpish type of guy who didn't care about his wife to be in that kind of industry and come home to, you know, well, how was your day, baby? Talk. You know, when, how could it be? How could my day be when I've been doing what I've been doing? And yeah, I got some money that I didn't have yesterday or before I did it. But look at what I had to do to get it. And then I compare that with other people who are getting this and more, and they're not doing it. They're keeping their dignity. They're keeping their health. They're keeping their belief system. They're keeping everything, and they're making as much or more than I am, and I'm losing all that other stuff. And I'm in the hands of people who are very corrupt, and they will do and entice me to do things and praise me and clap for me and show elation for me for doing it. And at no time do they discuss or I discuss getting rid of like something like the Miranda right and say, look, you know, you're going to have to do certain things to do this. Maybe drugs, alcohol, whatever, but you're not going to be able to get past you to be able to do these things. So you got to do something to you to be able to do it and live with it. And one of the things that she said after she'd done it and she got out of it, no, I'm unapologetic now. I'm tired of telling people, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I just shouldn't have did that, wah. But if you didn't make it that you were telling us that you did these things, your declaration would be to your Creator, your Lord and Creator, it's a whole other ballgame. But trying to please or impress your fellow human being who hasn't experienced what you experienced and what you went through, it's not very likely that you're going to get their forgiveness or whatever. So Allah said, don't come to them, come to me. I know the real deal. I know what you went through. I know what you're trying to get to. I'll help you get through all of this, and you have a lesson and you have a story to tell. Your life should not be decided by somebody else. It's your life. You should not be fooled into doing something that you didn't know you were doing because you had presented to you 3 pages of paper and you were told, just sign on the bottom line there. And the main thing you need to know is we're going to make you a lot of money, we're going to make you famous, and you're going to be able to rock it out any way you want to. You're going to dress like you want to. You're going to be able to buy what you want to. You're going to have that thing that you couldn't even imagine. Jewelry, you name it, you're going to be able to do it. And we got people doing it right now. You go over there and talk to someone on this world, without it. It's right there. And so you have this individual, like I said before, that when you study where she was, what she come through, and we're not even close to the end. If for some reason if the Creator enters into her life and God enters into her life, she gets more serious about the religion. That wasn't probably very serious in Lebanon. They were a war-torn country. have been a war-torn country. They've experienced heights and lows and heights and lows, and I don't know where they're at now, but it's not, I don't think, the place to be. It's almost as bad as Palestine, you know, because somebody's always breaking out war because it's a place where you can make some money, you can do this and you can do that, blah, 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 blah. But you also can get killed. That's why her parents left. But they didn't have the kind of understanding, the cultural, pristine cultural approach to produce a daughter that say, I'm a candidate for this because I'm not, my esteem is not there, my awareness is not there, my taqwa is not, my God consciousness is not there to realize, no, that's the last thing I want to be doing. I don't care how you present it. I don't care how appealing you think I'm going to be. I don't care how attractive it could be. I'll do what I'm doing now, which is what I should have did then, and prove to myself that I have worth and I have skills and I have courage enough to explore what I've always wanted to do. And it had produced not one business, not two businesses, but three businesses. Now, is the story over? No. Our own recovery and on this medication, and you don't really know how you got there. You think it was just luck. I just was lucky. I met the right people. I looked at it, and it wasn't as inviting as it was 2 years ago, and I just started to hate it and hate myself for doing it. And okay, that's a start. That'll pull you away and get you away and get you in a position to look at it differently. But it can get replaced by something else just as bad. And it's not an obvious wrong. It's a very title wrong to where you got people buying your product, whatever you're selling, and you're selling something that you say is going to empower women and is going to do that for women. But when you look at it, it's not. It's doing the same exploitation. It's just not as covert. It's overt. You know, it's not just open. It's behind the scenes, and it's got people dressed up. And I'll say this in the air, hoping not to offend anybody, with the beautiful dress, but you got to tell people and show people that you got on matching underwear. That's one of the thrills of buying the dress. And you got people who are in the modeling industry and in the industry enough to be comfortable enough to say it was just my underwear. So what's happening? What did you have to do that? You had to drop your morality. Who can give you money to do that? Who can give you the courage to say, well, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, so I'm going to make that money? But the question still becomes and stays, why do you have to do it that way? Why develop an interest in your undergarments to the point to where the people who help you do it, they're going to give you some money. The people who want to feel courageous and think that that may be a good step and I should be not be worried about this and that other, they're talking about they're going to give me X amount of dollars if I do that. Heck yeah. And what am I saying this here? Is this just, where's the alhamdulillah? No. This is the world that we live in. If you think you just can get satisfied with alhamdulillah and it's going to go away, are you holy enough to where it doesn't bother me that what about the generations coming behind you? What about them who was seeing it and seeing the society is approving of it? They got it. I saw what this article in on the news. So-and-so, looking hot tonight. They went out and they had this on and that on, and they decided that this was the way that they wanted to express themselves, and they did that, and woo, what you think about that? I don't think it's newsworthy. I don't think I'm any better off knowing that than I was before I knew that. In fact, I probably am worse off. I don't need to know about what people are doing in that kind of industry or in that kind of expression. That's why they call it private parts. It should stay that way. Well, they've gotten to the point to where they reduce you, and you're not sensitive to that, and you in a lifestyle where that's, you try to outdo the other person. Oh, you did that. Well, I'll do this. Oh, I'll top that. and no questions get asked. So no real answers get found. You can't do it unless you degrade the person who's doing it. And that's not the answer. Or you can make them feel bad. Put some clothes on. Dress up. Nobody wants to see up on your clothes. And that's true. But finding a way to say that without attacking the person who Allah can see better or knows better, or whether intentional or unintentional. You know, invitation was packaged in a way where it didn't look as bad as it really is. I'm 55, but I got the mind of a 25-year-old. So I'm gullible, I'm vulnerable. My age chronologically is this, but my educational background, my ability, my personal development and growth hasn't developed me to be able to, what do you say, bamboozle, to be followed around, and eventually they get to me. Just try it once, and then if you don't like it, whatever. See, we can say that about Islam, and we can know there's no harm going to come to you, no nothing, you know. Now, you can spook it up and do some things to it and tell a bunch of mythological stories to lure people in, but if you follow the formula, no compulsion. When you do it, it has to be a conscious choice. How fair can you be? Take your time. Look it over. See where your life is now and where you want your life to be, and see if it doesn't improve your chances of getting there, improve your ability of getting there, improve your retention once you get there. So what happens when that happens? What happens is what I mentioned when I first came on. There's a happiness. There's a warmth. There's an aliveness and an alertness and a spiritual feeling that just can't be matched. Now, you talk about unapologetic. Now, that's unapologetic. I'm not going to hide, you know, the joy it's brought into my life. I'm not going to hide when I'm asked questions of the magnitude of what is it. And, you know, like he was asking when she was on the program, how did you get this? What do you do now? Where are you at now? And she was a living testimony that she survived where a lot of people turn to drugs. And she's gotten healthier each day. She's feeling better about her life and herself, and the fact that she, like I said, it could have went sideways. It could have went another way. She could be down in the, she could be homeless. But like I said, once again, the balance. Two failed marriages, no children. And when they ask her, you know, what, are you out there? No, I'm not. I'm not looking. Right now, men aren't really what I'm wanting to look at. And she went out, and she said kind of jokingly, laughingly, but that she hasn't ruled out if a woman shows up and offers this, that, and the other, they might can do something. Now, she said it as a joke, but that's what I call serious joking. Kind of don't mean it, but you kind of do mean it. Well, that's kind of like being almost pregnant. There's no such thing. Are you straddling the fence? You can't do that. Now, am I saying you can't do that like that? No. I'm saying the success that you want to come to will never come to you if you're straddling the fence. If you want to have a happy, healthy marriage, you can't be straddling the fence and say, what if a woman comes along and she offers me the same thing and I can get the same joys? You can't. Same-sex marriages won't give you that. It's not me saying it. That's marriage saying it. You can't get the same thing for the people who marry properly and healthily and their belief system is involved, and they have vows that they take, and they have this commitment to family life and community life. And you can't just, I got married because I ran out, I got tired of looking for men, and I got tired of kissing frogs, and so I ended that problem. No, you created another problem. You jumped from the skillet to the frying pan. And if you examine it the way I've examined it, you'll see that that's what you did. It's not going to turn out like this one when you jumped away from something wrong and got involved in something that was right. you jumped away from something that was wrong. It's wrong to be in a relationship that's not providing you what a relationship is supposed to provide. I won't say wrong, but it's never going to do that. It hasn't been designed like that. So Allah says, or the Creator says, if it's like that and you recognize that, y'all both should agree that we need to end it. Doesn't mean we have to end our relationship. I am happy for you. I want you to enjoy someone to be with you and enjoy what you have to offer. I'm not that person. You know it. I know it. So let's quit anything other than that. But let's not take it personal. Let's not say the marriage failed because you didn't do this or I didn't do that or what. No. We need the skills and the tools to examine it. Islam provides those skills and tools to examine it. Once it's been examined with what Islam allows, gives you to do it, then a decision has to be made. And that's why Allah calls it the hate is halal. I have designed it so that it will work. If you weren't able to make it real work, you're one of the few casualties of statistical data that has to come forward. But here's what will work. Don't come forward hurt and damaged and thinking about the past and then letting it rob you of your future. Move forward. Closure, whatever you want to call it. Don't be looking at the other marriage to try to do anything but disrupt this future marriage. The lens for you in the future marriage is the lens that you need to look through. And just like you had lens for the past one, you develop the lens you need for the new one. It's good lens. You don't turn your head and bury your head. I don't want to see that. That was something like, no. There's a saying I have in my household. We have in our household, and we agree upon it. It's not. It's in the work. Encounter situations like that. I have two words I said. We solve problems. So we don't immediately go to start unpacking the problem. No, whoa, where are you going? Whoa. There's some truth in what you're saying. But let's unpack it in a way where we solve the problem and don't let it be a disruptive force in our night or in our day or in our marriage. Don't play with that. Those are two powerful words because it means that to you, or should mean to you, or it is saying to you, that we now know the problem so we can solve it. It don't have to linger any longer. We have the skills. We have the belief. We have the time. We have the ability to ask the right kind of questions. Is it that big? Is it that to get all bent out of shape, to get all emotional because I came home and I didn't bring the bread? I ate up all the bread and I didn't tell you. Whatever, you know, what little petty thing happened and we made a mountain out of a molehill because we got emotional. And sometimes you don't say nothing. It's your body language. What does that mean? What did you just say? I didn't say nothing. What does that mean? Why do that when we solve problems? We don't do that. That's a foreign language. We don't speak that with each other. We care about each other. We want the day to stay a good day. We want it to have a good ending. We want it to be where we both enjoy being with each other. See? We want to stay attractive so we don't do things that are unattractive. It's not that hard. It's not work. It's what we have to say. We solve problems. What's wrong with that? Other people don't solve problems and they can't work it out and they say irreconcilable differences. What does that mean? I mean, we got tired of working. Went to counseling. He's still the same. Or he cheated or whatever it was. They never gave it the opportunity that's being given when we say, hey, we solve problems. I don't solve problems. You don't solve problems. We solve problems. What does that mean? We both in it to win it. We ain't putting it on me all every time. Well, can you? No. That's not a we solve problems type of thing. That's you shifting it all on me and expecting me to do in the name of love the honey-do list. Nothing wrong with the honey-do list. But what gets to be more of a benefit to all is when we support each other. Okay, this time you did that, next time I'll do this. Not in some kind of, what's the word? Well, I give you an ulterior, you know, I give you the ultimatum, that's the word I'm looking for. Or you feel like I need to express this to show him or show her that I care, I love. Mm-mm. Start solving some problems together. Start making sure you're taking care of yourself, and that you love a lot and you love yourself. That's attractive. That's not what's on the market today when it comes to marriages and love. Playing the blame game, people are getting in and getting out. 5 days, 5 years, 35 years, five children. It doesn't matter. So what are they doing? They're giving up on that process. You got to give it a chance. See it coming, and then don't ignore it. But at the same time, don't blame other people. This is it's very difficult to be all that we can be. It's not an excuse, it's an explanation. That's the way it is. If you don't think it's that way, get out more and see. You'll see people wrestling with stuff that you used to have to wrestle with because it was a simple life, simple common sense life. Think about some of the things that are involved in life you never thought you would see. The things that phones can do and cars can do. We mentioned it earlier. The car run out of gas, it can tell. Your watch can tell it. Your phone can tell it. He's out of gas over here on the highway or the freeway. Come and get him. Or bring the gas can or call him or whatever. Your phone can alert. It can do all this smart stuff. But the things that we've been talking about, it can't do that. It can't tell you succinctly. That's a lie. They're lying. White lie, whatever kind of lie. That's not true. They want to make you believe something. It's not true. They want to be God-like with you in their life. They want you to worship them. They want you to bow to them. They want you to believe in them, to have confidence in them. And whatever they say, it's the end-all be-all. It's not true. How could you expect somebody to deliver kind of benefit to you when all they're here needing benefits themselves? Want the baby, child, adult. That's the stages. Everybody goes through that. And there's some other things, whatever, but everybody goes through that. And there's time and the ability to have access, have a relationship in your life with a creator. Or with the creator, the level is a playing field. What I get up and do with my time is going to be determined what I'm going to have in my life. If I get up and do the same thing, the same little routine every day or for the same whatever, that's what it's going to be. Status quo. The 85% of the people are getting that. They don't even want to hear about having to do anymore. You introduce what you want to give them, and they're telling you, yeah, 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 and then you tell them what you got to do to get it. Oh, well, maybe not. And like I said before, body language can say more to it than actual words. Their actions say more than their... You can want to be. You can say you're going to be. But until you become that, it's just in the be stage. It's available. You have the potential there. You have to make some commitments and some sacrifice. And then you have to act like that's what you really want. Because what? Action speaks louder than words. Where? Everywhere on the planet. That's where. You can't get away from it. When you see it, you recognize that you just saw it. That was a living example right there when he did that. And if you're careful and ask the right questions, how do I become a part of something like that? How do I do that? How do I get results and recognition? What is recognition you want? You want people to know you and see you as a professional person who wants to win at this thing called life. I don't want to be 0-5. I want to be 5-0. So what I got to do? I got to act like it. So that's what it came to my mind. That's why I said we still have problems. We got time to be spending 2 or 3 days and cold shoulder. What's the matter? That's it. Why are you talking to me? Why are you like that? Can we revisit it? Is it too hot yet still? Is it too unforgiving? Or what can we go back and just look at it for a few minutes and act like we really want to solve problems, we really want to get along, we're really special here, and if we take care of it like it's special, it'll last and it'll have a lasting effect, and people won't be giving marriage a bad name. And you do. When you send out the message, you've been with somebody, yeah, 40 years. Who going to want to get married? That's what it produced. You want to do that? It did that to you? Oh, my God, no. Excuse me. No, I don't want none of that. If it continues, you move back 6 feet, put your mask on. Yeah, people are running from you with that kind of conversation because it's not that way. It gets challenging at times, maybe. It requires work at times, yes. You got to go a little deeper. But you got what a lot tells you from the beginning. I'm Akbar. Bigger, better, stronger than anything that you've ever encountered. Can help you through any situation that you want to get help with, that you want to get through, get past, get on with. And I obligate myself to do that. And that's something that I'd say, well, I ain't, he's on his own today, or she's on her own. It's 5 times as great, call. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. I said what I'm going to do, and I'm saying if you do what you say you're going to do, it's going to work. It's going to work out you can even imagine. You have no idea what's waiting on you if you can do what you said you're going to do. Consistently do it in the areas of your life that really matter, or our life, not your life, our life that really matter. Find out what matters and then do that. And then I think you will do a little revised version of Black Lives Matter. Life matters. Humans' life matters to who? Human beings. Okay? And then you eliminate all these other ethnic groups that come into the picture. But there's only one race, and that's the human race. And when you get involved in that race, that competitive race, to get to the end, and you look back and you see that you've contributed, or you're leaving a legacy, or you're leaving something that's worthwhile talking about, and it's going to be missed because only you could do what it is, because it was your story, it was your version, your way of doing the same thing that everybody does, but you put something in it that made it a little extraordinary. See? And it was what? On purpose. It was intentional. You cook whatever it was, but you put a little TLC seasoning on it. It's not done today. I got to cook. All I want to see was some easy things. Let's go get to microwave stuff. back in the day, man, nothing like a homemade meal. And just knowing you were going to get one and knowing what you were going to get and knowing who was cooking it, you got excited. You got some energy that you didn't have. You got some appreciation that, yeah. So-and-so cooked this? Oh, I know this is good. I know it's going to be good. So is it gone forever? No. You and your household commit to keeping that kind of joy alive. Nothing like eating a meal with someone you care about and eating something that you care about. And you know it's going to be good for you, not just good to you. That's solving the problem. That's understanding a little bit about this thing called life and why it's so precious. You only have it once. If you act like it and give it what it's supposed to give, it will give it back to you. And then some. Who said that? The Creator says that to us. Guarantees. That's your inheritance. That's our inheritance. You get it, and if you leave, you get more of it. Even better than what you're getting here. And if we believe that, like we should believe that, we do that with the consistency that we should do that, that's what will happen. So I ask you to keep an eye on the Mia Khalifas of the world. Made a mistake, repented, and they're now receiving, like I said before, material benefit. But if they were honest and really knowing, then they would talk about how relieved it is to be under that burden that you and I, they put themselves in. If you get to that point to where you can get depressed, or you can get involved in something that you wish you hadn't did it and you got regrets. When you look back, you can't take yourself out of the picture. A big part of why this happened was me. So let me own the part as me, and then they own the parts of them. They selling wrong stuff. They grooming people and enticing people and making this look attractive and not telling you that it's going to cost you your soul, because your soul is not going to feel good with you doing that. So you either intoxicate it or you ignore it. Both are a problem. And it's hard to fix it once you go down, start heading down that road. It's not easy because what? We're creatures of habit. Once you start doing it, if it's a good thing, a good habit there is. So you do woo-woo. Smiling, saying hello, get a greeting, one better than the one you've got. And mean it. This ain't no upsmanship. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, match that. No. Say it right and get the blessings. He's prescribing it. He's telling you, if you get one, say it good, equal or better. And you take that and find out why Allah. What happens when I do that? I mean, really do it like it's supposed to be done. I mean, it's real. I mean, I'm really sincerely doing it. I'm meaning every word I'm saying, you know, down to the Arabic. And I know now that I know I'm doing something where half the people just going through the motions. So it isn't so much what I'm saying, it's how I'm saying it. What I mean when I do say it, how much I'm conscious of me, you know, who comes in the room, who says it first. I come in and there's a group of people there. I got to, you know, getting some of the details about it. And then why is it like that? Why are you setting it up like that? Because when you know what it means, I am giving the greeting to you and you returning it to me. But it also means I'm giving you something that only Allah can give you. So I'm just reminding you, we're reminding each other that we are saying we're aware of that. That's a big blessing because most of the people ain't aware of that. And they ain't trying to be aware of it. Okay, I guess I'm going to let go. I'm going to spit it out and get on with what I got to get on with. You know? And then give themselves permission to take it like that. And you didn't get credit. You didn't say you didn't. That wasn't it. You got to say it all out. You got to pronounce it. You got to, all that in there. Take a little time to make sure that's happening, and you can't get the credit for what you did, what you said. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that because I'm, you know, whatever. I'm saying it because it's true. That's what Allah says. I say do it, but I say when you do it, you get the benefit and the blessing from doing it. And then if you go a step further and be conscious of what you're doing and how you're doing it and make sure it's coming out right. The makhrij, what is that? What is it born at? Deep in tongue, we're coming through that mouth and you taking your time. I give you credit for that. I give you credit for struggling better than the one who's already got it. But what he hasn't got with it, or she hasn't got with it, is this belief that it's not the Arabic. It's what the Arabic is saying when you say it, and what it's saying to you or the person that you're saying it to. That's what it is. That's the miracle. That words can get you to change your mind, change your heart, change your spirit, and take on a whole new one that's totally opposite from that. And then you look back and you see, that saved my life. I was headed down the wrong path. I was on a dead-end street. I was acting up with people who didn't know anything and didn't care about anything but acting up. And I got right in there and joined them and tried to beat them and compete with them. Who could act up the most? Who could be the biggest fool? And I no longer do that. When it crosses my mind, I laugh. I said, all right, you almost inherited what your grandmother said. Ain't no fool like an old fool. And some more fools. But ain't none of them as bad as the person will get all the way through life. And you're in no better shape than you were when you started. If that ain't a fool, I don't know what it is. And it's a hard pill to swallow. Because the same thing that they're reminding you of is the same thing that's working against you. You done got old. You get up and go, done got up and gone. You don't feel like doing certain stuff. So what happens? It don't happen. It don't get done. Don't be late to the party. Come early, leave late to that party. So enjoyable, you don't want to leave. So unbelievable, it's hard to believable that, oh, all this for me, that and more. Claim your inheritance. It's there. Don't forget your fair share. Not just the material, everything else that comes with it. It's a package deal. 773, gotcha. Because I'm going to get off here in a minute. But, yeah, it's a package deal. See? Better than all those grab bags they used to give you. You don't know what you're going to get. But we have no idea. We can't even fathom what Allah intends for us if we'll do the right thing. If we'll just honor some of the things that it says that we should be doing in the Quran to other fellow human beings, in spite of the fact that it's not being practiced by a lot of people. It's not the norm. Most people just walking through it, going through the motions. Now, last question, I'm coming to 773. Is it always going to be that way? No. How does it change? One person at a time. That's just it. Nothing big and momentous about it. You know, you see communities of people, and they got this kind of way. But somebody got them involved, and then they stayed, and they're still there, and we wonder where they at with the whole thing. But I tell you, the opportunity to get all the fullness that has to be offered is there still, and then some. This is not the medieval times. This is another time. Some blessings that they didn't even know, couldn't even think about, can be had in our lifetime. We've seen it happen. So we can't deny that it can't happen. But we need to happen, or you're going to happen so you can get some of it. So we come to you, 773. State your name and where you're calling from. Looks like a familiar number. We'll see.
Assalamualaikum. This is Amira Muhammad.
Assalam.
Oh, brother.
Assalamualaikum, Sister Amira.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Assalamualaikum.
Oh, Brother Pasha, thank you so much, like, all the time. I love you for the sake of Allah. You just keep it so real. You bring tears. You bring joy. I mean, Allah just bless you with so much, you know, in your communication. And, you know, when you talk about being happy and expressive and joy and what we can get by living as deen and obedience to Allah, it's just what you always say. Be so appropriate. No, I'm so serious. You remind me of when I was growing up, and I'll be 70 in September, so you can get an idea what era I lived in. But you're just so real, brother. I just don't believe it. I mean, I do, but You know, and you're not afraid to say what's needed to be said into the occasion. You know, you'll bring the point and then you'll put your spin on it and, you know, just bring it to the forefront. And I just really so appreciate that. I just really do it. This conversation, like all of yours, it's been so empowering to me that I just feel a sense of freedom to be, you know. And I just want to say thank you, and I always appreciate you. And may Allah continue to bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. Well, let me just share this with you, and I know you got your husband on there. And he's same way. We bond because we're brothers in the same era. But once I found out this religion was really promoted through the voice and by the voice, and I looked back at the little experiences that I'm sharing with you, everybody now, and I said Allah prepared me to do this. And you're a testimony to that. And after a while, it becomes easy because it's true. You know what I'm saying? It's not me making stuff up as I go along. You know, it's real, you know.
Real.
And so I just borrowed a little bit of the experiences that I had. And, you know, we were around music. We were around comedy. We were around so much. And we're so rich with the experiences that we had. And the world really needs to hear our story. We need to know that the world needs to hear our story from our voice and with our experiences with what we went through. And now we're not ashamed to tell it because that's the way it was, T-I-S-T-I-L-S, you know. And so that's what I'll try to do. And the fact that you're on here.
I totally agree with you and telling our story because, you know what, like what's happened in the world to now, they couldn't have no clue what it was like in the era that we were growing up, you know.
Right.
And it's just like they need to hear that. It could put them in touch with their soul, even though it wasn't personally there, but the soul knows.
Right.
And the soul knows what it needs to keep it alive, to keep it fed. And you just bring that soul to the forefront, you know. So I just thank you. I just really
And it brings back, like you just saying, that it brings back a old Jerry Butler. Only the strong survive, you know.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you're welcome. Alhamdulillah. So I'm going to switch off here and get ready to go in a minute. I got a couple more things I want to say because we don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings and whatever. But I do know that we've truly been blessed as a people. It's not something that hasn't come to other people. At this particular time, I have to be honest, I'm not worried about them. As much as once you get what you need to get to do what this religion asks us to do, they'll get it. Because you're not supposed to get it and keep it. You're supposed to get it and share it. You're supposed to help others. Help us to help others to help themselves. Help us to help others to help themselves. Now, at one time, that only meant us. But now it means us, them, whoever needs help. And maybe they're a little shy to cry out that they need help. But all you have to do is look around at the world today. It is hurting. It is suffering from the lack of truth. People are in the dark because they don't know that they don't know, so they don't know what they need to know. And then when they do hear what they need to know from you, they don't want to hear that you know. They don't want to hear that you know that. I done spent all my life living a lie, and you know that better than me. I used to call you a boy and nigger and all that, and now none of that counts. It ain't put no more money in my pocket. It ain't put no more in my bank. I had to put somebody down to lift myself up. That's sad. And I want to call you a boy? No more, sir. No more. You get to call me a boy, and I feel bad about being a boy. Because the boy in me is better than the man in you. The boy in me is better than the man in you. And the people who are doing what they're doing, spreading lies about their superiority, are acting so immature. They need somebody to beat down and call a bunch of names and not allow them to get access to what they need to get so they don't have what you have. And then you tell everybody else the reason they don't have it because they don't know. They can't handle it. No, you can't handle sharing it. It don't belong to you. We all renting, man. Pay your rent and help me pay my rent and see what happens to your rent. See what happened to your life. Unbelievable. Like I said before, this thing called happiness, it means different things to different people. But if you ever experience it, you can't describe it to other people. They have to experience it. Look at Allah do. He hold back something that is rich and rewarding until you qualify yourself for it. And then when you do qualify yourself for it and you get it, you know this is something special. Then you ask yourself the questions I ask myself. What did I do to deserve it? And then you get the answer. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Just do more of it. And really be sincere about it. And then watch what happens. It's very, very attractive. And it's not a lot of people doing it. For whatever reason. I try to examine it and say the people who need it the most do it the less. That's one way to say it. But what is so true, and it hasn't changed, is that once we get hooked on that feeling, see, then what Imam Muhammad said about, you know, ain't no stopping us now. No, they can't stop us now. And once you break ranks and really not make this a black thing and make it a human thing, then they surely can't stop it. Because that's the bond that breaks the chain that the shaitan has on us. Once we unite as humanity, and it don't take a lot of people. That's the David and Goliath story still being told over and over and over. Allah reminds us, it only takes a few. He only has the power that we give him. And once we take that power back by not buying into his language and developing a language of our own and not being lazy, and then using that language and inviting other people the way that language invites people. See, it's not us. It's the language that we're using that invites people. Same thing when you get people to do wrong. You make them feel like they're missing something. you're missing a headache and a heartache. You're missing bad health. That's what you're missing. You're missing being silly and can't enjoy it because you're so tore up from the flow up. That's what you're missing. So as the youngsters say, miss me with that then. See, I enjoy my life because I enjoy my health. See? And I promised myself way before I saw an individual, my father's best friend. He had lost the most valuable thing that we have. 508, I got you coming. The most valuable thing that he had was his health. And he was out there full of alcohol and bravado and bragging about, you know, the woman in his life. And he knew it, and we knew it. He was a sugar daddy. And he wouldn't have anybody in his life if he wasn't paying dearly. And at the same time, he was going out the front door, somebody was coming in the back door. And all I'm saying is, when I say that, is that I told myself after I saw that, I said, it's not going to be me. I didn't know how I was going to avoid all that because I was headed down that path. There was no other options. That's what it meant to be a black man in a white man's world. At that time, it don't mean that anymore. We've come too far. We've heard too much. So anyway, I'm be quiet. I'm going to call 508, see what you got to offer for us tonight. Let me get my thing. So we're going to see 508, state your name, where you're calling from, whether you have a question or a comment.
Hi, yes, my name is Matthew E. O'Neill. I'm an author on Amazon.com in 13 different countries.
Okay.
And the question I have is this. The Injil belongs to Islam. A lot of people don't know that. In the Christian religion, it's called the New Testament. But the Injil belongs to Islam, and Jesus was a Muslim, according to Islam. Now, they think that some Muslim scholars believe that over the centuries, the original meaning of the Injil has been lost. How authentic do you think the Injil is?
Well, it's hard to say because you got so many versions. I think that's part of the problem. But I do know that the Holy Quran states what you just said about the Injil. So it doesn't become a debate about Injil or Holy Quran. It comes to debate about which one are you going to follow and get the benefit for it, because each one of them came from God.
Okay, but as far as, you know, some Muslim scholars debate whether, you know, if it's actually authentic or truthful, that over the centuries, some of the original meaning of the Injil has been lost. As a scholar yourself, do you believe that?
I believe what you just said a while ago. It's a debate. There's nothing wrong with a conversation about this and da-da-da-da-da. That's healthy for somebody to ask the question, has it been lost, da-da-da-da-da. But what has to happen, it can't just be an ongoing conversation. It has to get some resolution to where we say, okay, I'll take this position, and that'll be my contribution to where they were. And then I'll know that once time moves on and maybe I'm no longer with us, then they'll look it up again and they'll have this notes to compare to try to make their decisions. But we just don't want to have controversy about is it this, is it that. We got time is precious. We need to make a decision. You're going to believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. And we agree to disagree. And then we move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I competed as an amateur boxer back in the 90s. My best win was beating Preston Hartsog by TKO. Hartsog was Vitaly Klitschko's sparring partner for the Lennox Lewis fight back in 2003 for the WBC heavyweight title. Klitschko used Hartsog as a sparring partner. Of course, Lennox Lewis beat Vitaly Klitschko, and I'm the only person to beat Hartsog conclusively. Do you think that boxing, I mean, should be banned from like a religious perspective, or do you think the sport is okay?
No, I think it's a brutal sport. There's no real accomplishments in it, like a football or whatever. You just beat each other to bloody pulp, and you get declared a winner. I mean, I don't see how that could be a good, healthy sport. I know it's popular, but I think it should be recognized for humanity to look at it and decide we don't need that for entertainment. Let's stop doing that to one another and calling it entertainment, spending big money and calling each other, ignoring each other with titles and stuff and whatnot. So hopefully as the world grows, I'll grow the need for that.
Okay, yes. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And feel free to call again.
Okay, well, thanks. Okay.
All right. All right, I think it's a wonderful thing to come to an end on, and I see he's dropped off. This is what, for me, I look forward to, people calling and conducting themselves with intelligence, which forces me to be intelligent with them, not trying to have all the answers, but when you hear a good question and you have a religion and you have a belief system that if you believe in and study it, it will help you to help them understand why you take the position that you take. And now you have something to compare what you were saying with based on someone who has taken the time to try to do that. It's not a duel between me and him. It's not a Ahmed Didad against the Christian people. No, we're not trying to do that. First of all, the religion has so much to offer that we don't have to do that. No one's trying to win that fight. We're praising Allah. We're praising Allah's books, his word, his will, his way. You know, only Allah decides who's right, really right. We know what he says in the final book and with the final prophet. So that's a foregone conclusion. But how we get the world back to doing what it should do, which is coexist and get along and share and recognize wealth and humanity when they see it, I don't know if we have all the answers on how you really do that. But I know we had a leader who did it. And he showed the results that he got from doing it. So all I can try to do is follow the leader and follow in the footsteps, and hopefully some of that will come to me. So let me conclude with that. Let me go to brother and see if he has any closing remarks. Brother Mark, that's you. So I'm not going. Oh, he might not be on because he just phoned on and he's with the other program. So. He'll get that. But anyway, so I want to extend that offer to him. So I'll conclude here. We heard from enough from his wonderful wife and her gracious compliments and whatnot, and we thank them and appreciate it. And it makes me fight that much harder next week and try to be that much clearer next week. And that's what we'll do. We'll conclude with that, and we'll conclude and see you next week. We appreciate you for this week, and we appreciate the one caller. Maybe you tell his friends to call in and be serious and be intelligent and let's talk. It's time. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you again for being here with us on El Islam Based Conversation. Look forward to seeing you again, same place, same time, next week.